Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ, to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest half hour on radio. That goes by fast because we cover a lot of ground. We cover a lot of scripture, God's word, which speaks to the heart. And we want you to learn to discern the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness, and discover God's will for your life. So we cover many issues. We look at many scriptures. We look at questions that people have. And this is a Q&A time. In fact, this time of year, we get an incredible amount of questions regarding Christmas. Is it okay to celebrate Christmas? With Christmas just around the corner next month and people getting ready for it even now, it's a great question because as Christians, we want to make sure that we're not celebrating a pagan holiday, as some call it. We're not involved in creature worship, as some refer to it. We want to make sure, hey, if we're celebrating a holiday, is it prohibited by God or not? We want to make sure that God's blessing is upon anything we celebrate. In fact, I take a strong stand against celebrating Satan, evil, and darkness. Therefore, we disagree with celebrating witches and dressing up like, you know, witches and demons and devils on Halloween and celebrating darkness. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Strong prohibitions against celebrating darkness. And therefore, on Halloween at our church for years, we've had an alternative. We worship Jesus. We focus on him. We get together and fellowship and celebrate the fact that Jesus is Lord. And we have a harvest festival. We don't have a bunch of people dressing up and trick-or-treating and what have you. We focus on Jesus. However, on Christmas, quite a bit different than Halloween. In fact, the focal point for most Christians, true, genuine Christians on Christmas, is Christ. And it's a wonderful time. And so the question when it arises, hey, is it wrong to celebrate Christmas? That's caused a lot of pain through the years, a lot of division in families and even in churches through the years. And so I want to look at this scripturally and hopefully bring some biblical insight into this because the truth sets us free. Jesus sets us free from our sins. And many of throughout the scripture, we see many, many, many truths that set us free in many, many areas. So to most Christians, though, Christmas is a beautiful time of the year. It's a time of celebration, where there's, singing Christmas carols. I believe, many of the best songs that have been written are Christmas carols that exalt Jesus, just the melodies that just capture the essence of who he is and what he's done. And there's a sweet time of fellowship centered around Jesus at that time of the year, more so than just about any time of the year or any other time of the year. The opportunity to be with family and friends and with the joy that comes along with that. And what makes that a joyful time is the reason for the season is the focus on Jesus and what he's done for us. And just celebrating Jesus, the fact that God became a man, sharing the gospel. It's probably one of the best times, if not the best time, to share the gospel where the world lets its guard down. They're open to hearing about Jesus. And, countless people have been saved at Christmas plays and hearing about Jesus and what have you. Now, at the same time, I'm in agreement that Christmas has degenerated, if that's your view, to become a very materialistic holiday for many people. But that's for many people. Should Christians jettison celebrating Jesus' birth and coming to the world because other people focus on Santa Claus and material things? Should Christians not focus and the fact that Jesus came to the world at that time? Well, we're going to be looking at many of these objections. Now, I personally object to, the superstitions and the magic of mistletoe, and I don't tell my children, I never did, never would, that a big fat man's coming once a year after watching you day and night to see if you've been good or bad to reward you. I don't want them personally focusing on something like that. That's not true. And then we'll discuss that in another this is going to be a few parts long, this particular one, because Jesus is going to get glory through this. In fact, you're going to see how much glory he gets in a minute. We're going to be focusing on why Christmas can be a beautiful holiday. However, I want to look at one of the strongest, I would say probably the strongest accusation as to why Christians ought not celebrate Christmas, and it has to do with an accusation made by the Jehovah's Witnesses, one of the cults that comes strongly against celebrating Christmas. And every year, the Jehovah's Witnesses seem to put out pamphlets or books and what have you, and go door to door and actually tell people why they shouldn't celebrate Christmas, or that Christmas is a pagan holiday. Now, that being such a major holiday here in the United States and in different countries around the world, where for Christians, it's a time to magnify Christ, yet it's called a pagan holiday. Certainly, there are certain pagan things that have been brought in by certain professing Christians into the holiday. We, again, not agree with any of that. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. So I want to take a look at their strongest objection. I say strongest because if it's true, Christians are worshiping idols. According to the Jehovah's Witnesses, their strongest accusation is that Christmas is creature worship. Is that since it centers around focusing on Christ and exalting Jesus, it's tantamount to creature worship. That Jesus shouldn't be worshipped, therefore celebrating Christmas is a form of creature worship. Now, for Christians who, Christmas is a holiday that is used to glorify God, we fall more in love with Jesus because God became a man, and just the worship and the song and the praise and the joy around that, is going to really be a strange accusation, because we believe that Jesus is to be worshipped. But I want to read to you, I'd like to you to check this out, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, the reason they're considered a cult is because they don't believe in worshipping Jesus as God. They don't believe that he is God in the flesh. They don't believe he is the undisputed, eternal, uncreated creator of all things. In fact, in their production, Zion's Watchtower, dated December 1st, 1904, they actually celebrated Christmas and actually defended it at one time. In fact, that's kind of strange from a church that claims to be the one true church that would change its view so radically after, years after they claim to have been cleansed and what have you as the true church. I quote from the Watchtower production in December of 1904. It states this on page 364. Even though Christmas is not the real anniversary of our Lord's birth, but more properly the Annunciation Day of the date of his human begetting, Luke 1:28, nevertheless, since the celebration of our Lord's birth is not a matter of divine appointment or injunction, but merely a tribute of respect to him, it is not necessary for us to quibble particularly about the date. We may as well join with the civilized world in celebrating the grand event on the day which the majority celebrate, Christmas Day. So they actually stated that we should celebrate Christmas. Obviously, that statement has one problem. It still diminishes Jesus by saying we should give respect to him. Because they go on to, several years later, actually say they come against the celebration of Christmas and its creature worship. We want to answer this objection because the last thing we want to do as Christians is worship a creature rather than the creator. Then we would be damned. We'd be guilty of idolatry because God says he'll have no other gods before him. So we want to make sure that in celebrating Jesus on Christmas, it's celebrating that God became a man, that we are in fact biblically accurate, and that we are worshiping the true God. Now, by the way, let me just say this as kind of an aside, is Jehovah's Witnesses, like pretty much every cult, diminishes Jesus, turns people from Christ, claims to be Christian, like so many cults, yet in the name of being Christian, actually erodes the gospel, erodes the person of Jesus Christ. It's about every cult diminishes who Jesus is as God. In fact, let me just point out a few things really quickly as to show you how the Jehovah's Witnesses cleverly, in a diabolical way, distance people from Jesus. First of all, the Bible warns about enemies of the cross. You won't notice a cross or even a stake, as they would say, on any kingdom hall, any Jehovah's Witness or Watchtower building. The focal point really is not the cross. In fact, they used to use crosses as well, Jehovah's Witnesses, in the early days when they had claimed to be the one true church, but then they claimed they got a revelation from angels. Angels supposedly work in Brooklyn, giving the Jehovah's Witnesses revelations and what have you. By the way, also, the Lord's Supper. We partake of the bread and the the cup, and Jesus commanded us to, and Paul said as often as we get together to celebrate communion, it's an important part of our lives. Guess what? If you go to a kingdom hall, and I visited kingdom halls in the past, nobody will celebrate the Lord's Supper unless they believe they're one of the 144,000. And JWs believe there's very few of any of them left today on the earth. Therefore, it's a dead time. Once a year, they'll let the 144,000 celebrate it, but that doesn't take place typically because their kingdom houses are devoid of the 144,000 typically. And by the way, 144,000 not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're Jews that are sealed during the tribulation period, which is yet to come, by the way. 144,000 are yet to come to be sealed, so they don't partake of the trumpet and the bowl judgments. So that's a whole nother story. But guess what? They diminished, and again, they keep people from the bread and the cup. And by the way, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. They want to keep people away from Jesus. The diabolical spirits that are eluding the Jehovah's Witnesses, I should say. Now, we enter into faith in Christ, and through faith in him, we partake of his flesh and his blood. We are beneficiaries of his salvific act, which is efficacious for us on the cross of Calvary. However, when we partake of the bread and the cup, we symbolically show how we're entering into that relationship. By the way, entering into, just the term in Christ, we praise God that we're in Christ, we're part of the body of Christ. But guess what? Well, really, this special position only belongs to the 144,000, you know, and they translate it in union with Christ, which creates even greater distance. By the way, it's only the 144,000 that could be specially born again. But how Jesus told us that, you know, he said, we must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Yet Jehovah's Witnesses believe that that's only for the 144,000. Can you see how they're distancing people from knowing Jesus, from knowing who he is, from the cross, you know, the work of Calvary, in many, many ways. In fact, Jehovah's Witnesses would claim that they're led by the Spirit, but the Bible says, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit are the children of God, Romans 8. But they don't believe that they can be children of God. Only 144,000 can be born again as children of God. I can go on in this vein, but I want to point out to you the main thing we're focusing on here is that they claim that he's not God. And Christmas is not to be celebrated because, you know, we're not supposed to be involved in creature worship. Well, check this out, guys. It's amazing how many times Jesus is called God in reference to the first Christmas, in reference to his birth, and how we are actually told to worship Jesus. We're commanded to worship him. In fact, it's interesting because the scriptures tell us in John chapter 1:1-3, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Yet it says of the Word, it says that he was in the beginning with the Father, and it says that nothing came into being but by him, that he created all things, it says in John 1:1-3, and nothing came to being but by him. See, he's not a creature. He's a creator of all things, and nothing came to existence but by him creating it. Therefore, he's a creator of all things. And he became flesh. That speaks of the first Christmas. God became a man. So incredibly, ironically, we're called to worship Jesus. We're called to exalt him and honor him as God, and that he became a man in the first Christmas. We recognize the beauty of the first Christmas, the incarnation, is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, on the other side of the break, folks, it'll be less than 30 seconds. We'll be right back with you, and we'll just have a ton of scriptures that validate the reality that, hey, it's fine to worship Jesus on Christmas and celebrate Christmas because Jesus is God.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Praise the Lord, folks. Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. We're discussing the idea or the charge that Christians ought not celebrate Christmas. It's pagan, it's idolatry, according to Jehovah's Witnesses. And we've been looking at what I said is the strongest charge because it accuses Christians of worshiping a false god or idolatry. Now listen to this passage in Hebrews chapter 1. After it says in the first few verses that everything was made by Jesus again, we read in verse 5 and following, quote, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son'? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' And speaking of the angels, he says he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the son, he says," and this is right after he commands angels to worship him. So the Jehovah's Witnesses are saying, hey, he's an angel, he's a creature, he's not to be worshiped. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible makes a distinction between him and the angels and commands the angels of God to worship him. And then in verse 8, it says, "But about the son, he says, 'Your throne, O God.'" Now, this is the father speaking to the son. Look what the father says to the son, to Jesus. "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. That's verse 8. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, this is the Father again saying to Jesus, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Hey, folks, Jesus is being exalted as God, whose throne will exist forever, and the angels of God, the angels who are higher than us humans, are commanded by God to worship him. Is it wrong to celebrate, to worship Jesus on Christmas? Well, what happened in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2? What did the angels do when Jesus did come into the world? The first Christmas, when he was born, they celebrated and they worshiped God. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus existed in the very form of God, and that although he didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, so he could have held on to it and never became a man and never died for our sins, but he became a man, it says, and then he died for our sins, the God-man. Jesus died for our sins, and therefore it says that he is exalted above every other name. His name is higher than every name, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In fact, that's a quotation from the Old Testament, how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yahweh is God. That's attributed and applied to Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. The author of Hebrews goes on to tell us that while Moses is this, you know, awesome man of God, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus deserves more glory in verses 1 through 3 than Moses. Do you know why it says Jesus deserves more glory than Moses? Verse 3 says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Did he catch that? Because Jesus is the builder of the house. It just said in Romans or in Hebrews chapter 1 that he's a creator of all things. That's why he receives greater honor than a mere creature, even a creature like Moses, because he is the creator God. Now notice again, folks, that the angels were commanded to worship Jesus in connection with him, what? When he brings his firstborn into the world. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. You shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it's creature worship, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, yet God commands the angels to worship Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 when he brings them into the world, brings him into the world. That's speaking of the first Christmas. So it's the first Christmas that the angels were to worship Jesus, and praise God, they did. By the way, we see that Jesus receives more honor than Moses, as the builder of a house receives more honor than the house itself. That's because Jesus says, or it says, God is a builder of all things. That's Hebrews 3, 1 through 3. He's a creator of all things. Well, guess what? Jesus said this, and Jehovah's Witnesses, oh man, I hope some of them are listening. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, that all, that means Jehovah's Witnesses too, may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Did you catch that, folks? We're commanded by Jesus to honor him just the same way we honor the Father. How do we honor the Father? We worship him as our creator. We're supposed to honor Jesus the same way. In fact, Jesus says if we don't honor him the same way we honor the Father, we're not really honoring the Father who sent him. Those are some scary verses. It's like John 7, 24, Jesus says, if you not believe that I am, ego eimi, the divine name of God. In John 8, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That's the name of God in Genesis 3:14, and the name of God, ego eimi, ho'an, the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew in Isaiah chapter 40 through 48, we see ego eimi used of God as being the only God over and over again. We have to worship Jesus. If we reject Jesus and we refuse to follow him as God, we're rejecting the true God of the Bible. And God's word warns that we don't receive a different Jesus that's brought by Satan. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's important stuff, folks. We need to make sure we have the real Jesus. In fact, guess what? When you get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, it shows all the angels and every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, and all the angels and the four living creatures and 24 elders all worshiping Jesus just as they're worshiping the Father. They're worshiping the Father on the throne, and it says Jesus is seated at his right hand on the throne, and it says they give glory and honor and power, all these things, to the Father and to the Lamb, and it says they worshiped him. That's in Revelation chapter 5. Important stuff. By the way, ironically again, we're told by Jehovah's Witnesses, don't celebrate Christmas. It's creature worship. You don't want to, you know, worship Jesus. Yet it's a connection with Christmas that Jesus is called God, as we're seeing, and that we're called to worship him, that he's God in the flesh, that the angels are called to worship when he's brought in the world. Well, guess what? Isaiah 7:14. Very popular verse on Christmas cards, probably graced millions of Christmas cards through the years. It speaks of Christmas, but it speaks of Jesus being God as well. It says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel." Folks, what does that mean? Well, the prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. It says, "All this took place to fulfill the Lord, what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Okay, now this is amazing, folks, because Jesus, when he comes in the world, the first Christmas, he's to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it goes on to say that you shall therefore call him Jesus. He is the Son of the Most High God and what have you. Well, how does Jesus fulfill Emmanuel? By the way, we do call him Emmanuel. That's one of his many names. We sing songs with the name Emmanuel. We speak of him as God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Now, it's interesting because he says in that connection and fulfillment of that prophecy that you shall name him Jesus. How does that fulfill the Emmanuel prophecy? Because the name Jesus, Yeshua, means God is salvation. Guess what? Jesus' name is God is salvation because God became flesh. He is the only Savior. He became a man. So folks, as to the Jehovah's Witness charge that we should not celebrate Christmas because Jesus is not God, he's a creature and it's creature worship. We're seeing all throughout the scripture that Jesus is God. And when the irony, as I'm telling you, is that he's not only God, but he's also, we're commanded, angels are even commanded to worship him, and men will worship him. The wise men, as you'll see, worshiped him on after his birth as well. Now, folks, listen to this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This also is a passage that's probably graced millions of Christmas cards through the years. It's a prophecy of Jesus coming into the world, of his birth. And guess what? Again, he's called God. Let me read it to you. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." He didn't come into existence on a certain day. He became a man. God became a man on a certain day, but God is from everlasting to everlastings. And it says he'd be born in Bethlehem in Micah 5:2, and his goings forth will have been from everlasting. In fact, it's interesting. How long is everlasting? It's forever. If you have everlasting life, you'll never die. From everlasting means from forever. And Jesus in Micah 5:2 is from everlasting. Here he's called Everlasting Father. The Hebrew can read Father of Eternity, which makes sense because he is the creator of all things and he is the everlasting immortal God. And then it goes on to call him Prince of Peace. And now the term Mighty God. Now some Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, he's just called Mighty God there, not Almighty God. Well, I ask the Jehovah's Witness, well, is he Mighty God? Is he God? They don't believe he's God. So how could he be Mighty God? However, let me just say this. God himself is called Mighty God later in Isaiah as well. Isaiah chapter 10, the very next chapter, verses 20 and 21, tells us, quote, "Israel will rely on Yahweh," or the Lord, "the Holy One of Israel. They will return to the Mighty God." Hey, folks, God's not mixed up saying Jesus is Mighty God in 9, but he's Mighty God in 10, but he's not the same God. Jeremiah 32, verses 17 and 18 tells us, "The Mighty God, whose name is Yahweh of hosts." So God's name in the Old Testament is Mighty God and Almighty God. Jesus is called in Scripture Mighty God and Almighty God. But we'll have to save that for another time as we pick up whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas next week. It's a great topic. It's coming up. And I want to know that, hey, God allows me and rejoices in me celebrating his son coming into the world and worshiping as God on that day. And I have no doubt about it. Don't you have any doubt about it. Just make sure your focus is on Jesus and not on mistletoe and not on some big fat man coming through the chimney that doesn't exist. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we want to thank you again for joining us with the Good Fight Radio Show. We hope you continue to keep your eyes on Jesus and your hands on the plow. We want to encourage you to press on in Jesus, press on to know him and to make him known. May the Lord bless you as you seek him. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he give you perfect peace. God bless you.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
It comes down to just one thing.